Hello and welcome to the Headache Doctor podcast, where it's our mission to educate and empower everyone with headaches and migraines so that you can break free from a life of fear of your next headache or migraine and dependence on medication. In today's podcast, we're going to be talking about cluster headaches. Now, cluster headaches are some of the most debilitating headaches that you could have. They're excruciating in their symptoms, and the pain actually manifests itself oftentimes physically through tearing, swelling of the eye, congestion, things like that. So the actual alarm bells that are going off are very, very intense, and it puts you down. And so if you have cluster headaches, if you've been diagnosed with cluster headaches, you're going through a lot, and they onset very quickly, and then you'll have periods of time with nothing. And so it can be a little bit confusing. We've had patients go through our process and find relief with the diagnosis of cluster headaches when they've been suffering with these types of symptoms. And we realize that we haven't addressed cluster headaches specifically. I think I've touched on it in previous podcasts. So we wanted to dedicate a podcast just to cluster headaches. You see, when people call or go through our process, oftentimes what we'll do is use the podcast as sort of a resource for them to understand more about their situation before they then go through their actual treatment. And so when someone has a specific diagnosis, they want to know if we've talked about that or if I've talked about that on the podcast. And so here is the cluster headache podcast. Now, there's a few interesting things about cluster headaches. I mean, when we think about our healthcare system in general, the end result, if you get this diagnosis, is really medication. There's a couple things that they do a little bit differently when they're treating cluster headaches. It's just because they onset so quickly and the pain is so intense. But the other thing too is they do happen more often in males rather than females, whereas a traditional migraine is more common, 2 to 3 times more likely to happen in women compared to men, but this sort of switches. And so that's also interesting. The other interesting thing is it can onset very quickly, happen multiple times in a day, and that period or spell, that sort of rhythm will last for about for weeks to months, and then they can completely go away. So people can be absolutely fine outside of that period of their cluster headache onset. And so there's a little bit of this, maybe a seasonal impact. Oftentimes people have them the same time of year every year. And so what we want to do is break down the why behind some of these symptoms. One thing on this podcast that I'm very intentional about is understanding the why. And so because someone has these symptoms, we need to be able to connect them to something that explains why you would be in this scenario. And so we have that three spoke framework that I've talked about before. The first spoke being what mechanically could be causing the pain itself. Spoke two is developmentally what might be impacting your situation. And then spoke number three is systemically, how is your body able to respond to the pain, and may it be reducing your threshold and things like that. So we're going to apply cluster headaches and how they present into that framework. And then ultimately, I want to provide you all with a sort of the framework to understand your symptoms, but then to know how to change them and what to do about it. So let's start off with just some general oversight into what cluster headaches are. So like I said earlier, the symptoms will have a sudden onset. So it'll come on very quickly. Sometimes there can be an aura, like with a traditional migraine, where you have a visual disturbance or maybe numbness, tingling, something like that. The cluster headache is known as a cluster headache because it's normally one-sided. It can switch sides, and it's located most often behind the eye. And so it's a very intense pain behind or around the eye and then on one side. And so it's all clustered into one spot. It oftentimes can onset a few hours after sleep. So once you fall asleep, you might wake up a few hours later with the intense pain. The episodes will last anywhere from 30 to 45 minutes. I mean, they can be shorter, they can be longer, but generally it's about a half an hour, 45 minute spell of intense pain. And so this is, it's very excruciating. People generally are very anxious during this time. They're pacing, they're agitated. And like I said, there can be physical manifestations of tears, eye swelling, irritation around the eye, even stuffiness within that same-sided nostril, a droopy eyelid, things like that. So the eye is clearly impacted. When you think of someone that has migraine symptoms, you can often look at them and tell if they're in pain. So their eyes, their one eye will get droopy. Their demeanor will change. It'll look like they're in pain to some extent. And no matter what they do, they can't necessarily change that. It's not as if they can just open their eye wider. And so there's a physical manifestation of that intense pain with migraine. We know that, but to a greater extent with cluster headache. You can go through a period of weeks to months, and often it can show itself around the same time of year. So there's sort of a cyclical element to it. It can be seasonal, so in the fall or in the spring. Everyone will have a slightly different pattern on how it presents, but there's sort of a seasonal effect with it. So traditional migraine might be every week, every other week, every month. You experience these symptoms. With cluster headache, it's more like in the fall, it'll onset and you'll just deal with it for a couple months and then it'll go away and you'll be fine and then it'll come back next year. I've had patients who have had no symptoms for years and then it'll come back for a year or two and then they'll have no symptoms for years again. So it can be very confusing trying to understand what is happening here. And so the purpose of this podcast is to try to provide some clarity. Some of the triggers that go along with cluster headaches, so alcohol use, smoking cigarettes, changing to a higher altitude. So living in Colorado, if you were to drive up to the top of Pikes Peak, I actually had a runner one time that presented with cluster headaches, and he would run at altitude, and he would start from his house at about 6,000 feet, and he would run up to Pikes Peak or run up to the substantially higher elevation. And at that altitude, with the change in altitude and then with the exertion, exercise, which is the next one on the list, it would then trigger this intense headache behind one eye. Bright lights can also be an issue or a trigger. Heat, either weather or in a bath. So this oftentimes also happens with exertion type headaches where people can't tolerate heat very well, a hot bath or high temperatures or a quick change in the temperature. So meaning if you go from hot to cold, cold to hot, if the temperature changes dramatically, those types of things can be triggers. Foods containing nitrates. So bacon or lunch meats, deli meats have high levels of kind of added nitrates. There are natural nitrates that you'll get in leafy greens, which can be good, but these added nitrates can be a trigger, and we'll talk about that a little bit later, and then cocaine use. Hopefully, if you're listening to this podcast, you're not necessarily having cocaine use as a trigger, but it was listed. So one of the common threads here, and we'll talk about it when we get into our framework, but there's similarities to the exertion headaches. And I have a podcast on that. And I think, at least on YouTube, it's one of the most watched episodes of the podcast on YouTube. And so a lot of people, they are having a hard time understanding exertion headaches. And so I think the cluster headache diagnosis as well leaves people confused. But exertion, changes in temperature, changes in altitude, these are things that are common with exertion headaches and then also with cluster headaches. And so we'll talk about why that might be, okay? So when we think about the three-spoke framework, so let's talk first about the mechanical aspects of cluster headaches, like what mechanically, meaning what in your neck or jaw or shoulders, what physically could be producing these symptoms, all right? So that's the question we want to ask first. And if we know what that is, we can then treat it. So first off, we know that the neck and the jaw and even the shoulders can refer pain into the head or the face. Now, what likely is happening with the cluster headache is that the ophthalmic branch of the trigeminal nerve, so the trigeminal nerve, tri, meaning three, it has three branches that receive sensation from her face. The branch that innervates around the eye is called the ophthalmic branch. And so likely what's happening, or not likely, what is happening is that your brain is receiving input from the trigeminal nerve that something is wrong with the eye, okay? So it's receiving a painful sensation from and around your eye. Now, that's what your brain is perceiving as happening. What we know with referred pain is that we can't necessarily trust that the location of that pain is accurate, meaning just because your eye hurts doesn't mean there's anything wrong with your eye, okay? So there could be a referral pattern from the neck. The neck could be actually causing the pain signal to be sent, and it can be a very intense pain signal. Your brain is perceiving that signal is coming from that ophthalmic branch of the trigeminal nerve. The reason it can do that is because it meets up in the brainstem with sensory nerves from the neck and also sensory nerves from the back of the head. And that then sends a common signal to the brain. So the brain is having to sort of break down and understand this pain signal. Now, when it's a really intense pain signal and it gets the location wrong, it can start to hypersensitize that area. And so what we see is what would be called allodynia, meaning there's a painful response to a non-painful stimulus. So when your eye hurts, like if you have a cluster headache and you push around your eye and it's swollen and red and irritated, well, that can be a manifestation of just the brain perceiving something wrong with the eye and causing that area to become hypersensitive, all right? So it shouldn't hurt to push around your eye on the bony part of like your cheek or your eyebrow. But if it does, that's called allodynia. It's a painful response to a non-painful stimulus, all right? So that is the nervous system, our brain, perceiving something as being hypersensitive, all right? And because of this overlap, that can happen. The other thing that could be happening here is because the pain signal is so intense, you have sort of this stressed, what the brain is perceiving as being a very, very stressed out eye or the trigeminal branch there as being on like very, very high alert. And so anything in that area is going to be stressed to some extent, all right? So you've got tears that can develop. You've got inflammation or redness or irritation around the eye, maybe a droopy eyelid, okay? We know this with migraine patients that have sort of the droopiness of their eye as their migraine onsets and during their migraine. And so that's that physical manifestation of pain in cluster headaches can present as that inflammation, that redness, that teariness, the droopy of the eyelid, those types of things. All right. So pain is driving this scenario, and it could likely be coming from the neck. It could be coming from the jaw. It could be coming from the shoulders. It could be all three of these things contributing to the pain signal that the brain is perceiving as coming from the eye. Okay. So that's mechanical. If someone is diagnosed with cluster headaches, they present this way, they come into Novera here. We're going to look at their neck and try to understand what the underlying impairments are because we know this connection is there and it's real, and we want to find something that we can treat. Hey guys, if you are listening to this podcast, the chances are you have headaches or migraines and you're searching for relief outside of medication. Well, maybe you've tried different products on the market or devices, traction units, things like that, but they haven't really scratched that itch and provided you with the relief you're looking for. Well, what we've done here at Novera is taken the principles that we teach and abide by in our in-person care and come up with a product that allows you to apply those same pressures and improving mobility to the upper part of your neck at home. You see, it's called the SAM device, Simple Affordable Migraine Relief. And the device allows you to improve mobility to the upper part of your neck. And we are excited to announce that it's available today on our website. Visit NoveraHeadacheCenter.com, click on the SAM device page where you can look at videos and learn more about the SAM product and purchase it for yourself and start treating your headaches and migraines more naturally without medication. Again, that's NoveraHeadacheCenter.com and click on the SAM device page to purchase your very own SAM device today. If we assume that your eye just has a problem, or your eye is just hurting and it's just coming from nowhere, it's just manifesting itself and there's nothing to actually treat, then that's a more discouraging scenario. So we want to figure out if there's this connection here at all. And in our prior experience with patients that have had this, so for example, the gentleman that was a runner at high altitude worked on his neck and he improved. He was able to run at high altitude and exert himself through that exercise and potentially experience some of the barometric pressure change as part of that trigger as well. And then he was fine. So he didn't have headaches after he went through our process. And all we did was work on his neck. Okay. So he came in, he had neck restrictions. We worked on them. He got better and he presented with what would be a cluster headache. All right. So the other thing that happens that's interesting because with cluster headaches are treated acutely, meaning right away with oxygen. They can be treated with sumatriptan nasal spray, okay, which impacts serotonin levels and is actually acting as somewhat of like a potentially anti-inflammatory, but also impacting the blood vessels within the brain. And then long-term or preventatively, it's impacted with actually a vasodilator. So the reason I bring those up is because they're impacting the blood vessels within this area. All right. Now, the thing that's interesting about how we perceive pain is that a severe neck problem, a severe pain signal from the neck, does meet up in that same nucleus within the brainstem. So that's picking up sensation from the face. All right. Now, what else travels through there is the sensory input from the blood vessels that surround the brain. Okay. So, it all has to do with this perception of hypersensitivity from the brain, okay? So if one thing tells the brain that our, you know, so we're in a house, the smoke alarm goes off. If one thing is telling our brain that there's a problem and there's a severe problem, there's a really painful stimulus somewhere, the brain doesn't get the location exactly right. And so it says, okay, the alarm bells have to go off somewhere, and it picks something to be hypersensitive and to be irritated, all right? So it's the eye and it's the blood vessels that impact that region. And so these blood vessels have this hypersensitivity as well. So if you're taking medication that impacts the dilation, the constriction, the amount of oxygen, if there's anything that gives those blood vessels a break, it should help. And that's why these medications make sense. All right. But just because medication interacting with blood vessels makes sense doesn't mean that we stop there. It doesn't mean that you just have a blood vessel problem and that you just have to take this medication every time it happens. And I can say that with confidence because most of the patients we see have migraine and the explanation for migraine symptoms largely leads back to let's treat the blood vessels within the brain, and that helps. Okay, so the same mechanism is there with migraine symptoms, and that's what we do basically all day, every day. Most of our patients have that diagnosis. So with cluster headaches, the same mechanism can be applied here to understand that just because the medication's treating and changing the vasodilation or constriction of the blood vessel doesn't mean it's just a blood vessel problem because there is a way to tie that to something mechanical still. Okay, so that's number one. That's spoke one. All right, so we have some answers there. We have some things we can look at. Spoke two is developmentally. So we want to understand what your body might, whether it was a learned adaptation like through childhood, adolescence, something that your body's sort of not developed fully. So for example, it would be airway. The other thing that I think could be going on here is something visually, all right? Now, with airway and vision, I think these could be components. I don't think these are the front runners in this scenario, but they're worth talking about. So first, vision. So as we grow and develop, and all these different systems are adapting to the demands that we put through them, our visual system is the same. Now, when you go see an optometrist, they're going to look at the acuity of your vision, meaning how clear are objects when you're looking at them, whether it's far or near. And they'll prescribe glasses to accommodate to that if there's a deficit there and it needs to be improved. Now, what's somewhat overlooked is this eye movement and specifically convergence. So as you look at something that's close to you and down, so a laptop, a phone, a book, even talking to someone in a close conversation. So we train our eyes to look down and in a lot. Now that can add stress to these little eye muscles that are supposed to move, that are moving our eyeball into that position. And so if one of those eyeball muscles is increased in the amount of tension to the point where it's starting to send a pain signal, that will present with pain around the eye, okay? So to treat this, we would go through a course of vision therapy, all right? So we would restore function to the eye so the eyes move efficiently. Now, that's we do see that, and we send people off to a specialist that can do that form of treatment, an optometrist that's trained in that. I don't know if that's the primary cause in this scenario, mainly because cluster headaches often will present an hour or two after you fall asleep. So your eyes aren't necessarily straining. You might be carrying some tension with you to sleep, but if someone has a convergence insufficiency, generally they're triggered by looking at phones, looking at computers, staring at things for a while, and they notice their eyes fatigue, and there's pain generally behind both eyes, not necessarily one, okay? But it is something we would consider. The second thing is airway. So because the onset can be an hour or two after you sleep, well, the thought here is that if your sleep position needs to be adjusted, then we want to look at that. But two, if your airway is restricted and you're thrusting your jaw forward, increasing tension through your jaw muscles, that could be irritating and agitating that trigeminal nerve, causing these symptoms to, or triggering these symptoms while you're sleeping. Okay. So that I think is probably, depending on the patient and how they present, meaning if you mouth breathe, if you have a hard time breathing through your nose, your oral health. So what's your dental health history look like? And there's a whole host of factors, but those things would kind of be on the back of our mind as we're working someone with cluster headaches, because we would want to solve that problem as well, so that we're looking at overall health and your body's able to function the way it should. So spoke three is systemically. So systemically, what might be happening here is an explanation for the seasonal impact. So seasonally, we have potentially there's changes in pressure more regularly in certain seasons than others. Potentially there's, there is a change in season, and with that comes seasonal allergies. With those allergies comes an increase in inflammation. And so in our sinuses, there could be a level of inflammation that increases seasonally, all right? So here's the scenario. If your body has a resting level of inflammation, whether it's a higher level because your gut health is poor and your diet needs to be adjusted, so your threshold is going to be lower in general, okay? And then on top of that, if you enter a season where you have some seasonal allergies, there's an increase of pressure and inflammation within our sinuses, and we have a neck problem that's causing that area of our head and face to be a little hypersensitive. That's a scenario where I could see someone presenting with a sudden onset of severe pain behind one eye that's there for a period of time, and then the rest of the year is fine, okay? So when it comes to systemically, what we'd want to do is reduce whatever inflammation we can so that your body is more equipped to handle it around that time of the year. All right. So whether it's understanding seasonal allergies or understanding potential hormone changes, or just treating the, your gut health so that you overall have a better baseline. It could be even things like using, there's a nasal spray called Clear, X-L-E-A-R, that I'll recommend to people so that they can breathe better at night, potentially reducing the amount of pressure in your sinuses and in your airway, increasing congestion with that hypersensitivity could potentially be a trigger for these symptoms, okay? So the bottom line here, when we're looking at cluster headaches, is that the medical system doesn't necessarily provide answers. So there's no cure. It's not as if they say, take these meds, this will go away. They're managing symptoms, but that's not new to you, the listener. We talk about that a lot. And that's why I have this podcast. That's why I do what I do, because we need to have answers to these things. Oxygen, sumatriptan nasal spray, the connection with blood vessels, that is there, again, with the eye symptoms, the droopiness, the inflammation, the teariness of the eye, the intense pain. All that could be explained by hypersensitivities manifested from the brain perceiving a problem with that eye. But ultimately, the source of pain could be coming from the neck, the jaw, the shoulders. So if we treat that and see the benefit, meaning the cluster headache reduces, then there we have our diagnosis. But then we also want to consider the factors of airway. We want to consider your vision, and then look at inflammation and understand if we can improve your baseline, and so that when you go into that season, you're not running into this cluster headache and that you have a sense of control again. All right, guys, thank you so much for listening to the Headache Doctor podcast. There's my insights on the cluster headaches. I hope that's helpful and useful and insightful. If you are someone with cluster headaches and you're wanting treatment and you want to get out of this, please visit NoveraHeadacheCenter.com and reach out to us on our website. We would love to help you through this. We do have virtual options as well as in person. We have a masterclass on our website. You can get some exercises from the masterclass if you just want to purchase that and not actually interact with us or call us. You can do that right now. And we also have the SAM device, which is a great way to address neck issues, the underlying neck issue we talk about, and improve mobility. I really appreciate you guys, the listeners. I couldn't do this without you. Obviously, you are my marketing. You are the way that this is going to spread. Please tell other people about it. Leave me a 5-star review. That really helps the algorithm push this out there so that more people can find hope from these debilitating headaches and migraines. And as always, it's our mission on this podcast to educate and empower everyone with headaches and migraines so you can break free from a life of fear of your next headache or migraine and dependence on medication, allowing you to thrive in everything you do. I'll see you next time. Hey guys, I just wanted to say thank you so much for listening to the Headache Doctor podcast. I know that you have a lot of options in how you spend your time and how you consume information around headaches and migraines. I just wanted a quick ask, because the only way that we grow this podcast and continue this mission is if you subscribe, share this podcast, and of course, leave us a 5-star review. Those are cherished, and it makes my day when I see someone's story come through as a 5-star review and how this podcast has been able to help you. Thank you so much again for listening to the Headache Doctor podcast, and I'll see you next week.